Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, 8:06 on the Bob Rose Show on this Trash Talking Tuesday. Time check brought to you by Prestige Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. In the house, in the flesh, Congressman Ted Yoho. Congressman, great to see you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on, Bob.
You're such a rock star now, you know, and I'm glad that you still come back and remember the little people in your life. And this is probably a little bit more fun than a town hall meeting, so you're welcome. We have top-notch security.
Those are all fun. Yeah.
Hey,
great
look,
to be here.
Let's get right into the meat of it. Immigration. Look, first of all, is a wall ever going to get built? What's the reality in that?
Yeah, you're going to see a wall built in areas where it's needed. It got $1.6 billion got authorized in the National Defense Authorization Act. There was a bill called Save America. And that funding is in there. And our recommendation was build a wall where the border agents tell you they need it or DHS says we need it. There's people that want it across the whole border. I'll let the experts decide. I personally don't think so. And if you look at the results, of just the rhetoric of President Trump since he's been in office in the enforcement of the laws, imagine that enforcement of the laws already on the book. Immigration, illegal immigration across our southwest border is down over 60%. You know, some estimates put it right at 70%. So, you know, how much more effective would a wall be versus enforcement of the law and do border security as we're supposed to as a nation?
And that's always been the issue. I mean, you know, you and I were very young then, but I remember Ronald Reagan in 1986 when he signed it into law. It made sense. It's like, okay, we're given some amnesty there. I understand some people are upset, but we were promised, you know, we're never really going to have to deal with this issue again. And once the enforcement went away, it's like it never existed.
And that's what happened. You know, they put in place the safeguards to make sure it didn't happen again, but they didn't enforce it. And that's why we have the problem we have today. You know, we have 30 years of a failed immigration policy, and it becomes a mess. At what point do you just say, you know what, we've got to change the direction? And I'm happy with what's happening. I mean, it had to happen. If not, if you waited 10 years from now, you can only imagine where we would be.
And it doesn't need to be in a mean-spirited way. But
not
the fact,
at all.
The fact of the matter is, it's very costly. Los Angeles County alone, over a two-year period, they spent $2 billion on welfare-type assistance for illegals, not for questionable, for illegal. $2 billion, you know, it's just a matter of, hey, the citizens are paying for that, and we're already $20 trillion in debt.
Well, we are, and, you know, you look at the rule of law. If we're not going to follow the rule of law in this country, why would we expect anybody else that comes in illegally? And, you know, so it's just one of those things we have to, you know, do what the American people said, do what the law says, and enforce that stuff.
And here's a big one that I know impacts us every day. It's impacted me and my family, and that is Obamacare. Let's not pretend like health care costs were perfect or not climbing every day before Obamacare. It was. And people did clamor for reform. It's just the brand of reform we got while the Democrats were in power. This Obamacare has been, once again, very costly to the average American family. I was promised by President Obama that my health care costs were going to go down $2,500 a year. I thought, wow, I'm not crazy about this guy's policies, but if he delivers on this one, that would be huge. But guess what? They went up $2,500.
Well, they did. In fact, you know, since you brought that up, Obamacare in Florida has an 84% premium increase, 84% premium increase since 2013. There's 21 counties in Florida had only one choice in 2017. 72 counties had two or fewer choices in 2017. Eight left the insurance market. And we're seeing this all over the nation. And, you know, it's going to continue to get worse. It was never designed to fulfill the need. The whole purpose, and this comes out of President Obama's, you know, own talk, is that he wanted to go to a single payer or universal health care, and he said the American people weren't ready to accept that. So this was an interim, and the goal was to fail, and then they go into universal health care.
Well, now President Trump is saying, yeah, we'll let it fail. We'll let it implode and maybe take away those, you know, that cash that's added to it for the people who can't afford it, CSRs or something, I think it's referred to. So if President Trump does that, all you're going to have, in my opinion, is the lefty media is just going to come out and go crazy over individual stories of people who are losing their health care because of President Trump.
Bob, they started that before the election and saying when the Republicans, if they were to take over, this is what would happen. And so they've just added on to that. And it's rhetoric. And this is what's wrong, whether it's comprehensive immigration, comprehensive tax reform. It causes a divide in our nation. And they use that as a political tool. And I sometimes wonder, after being up there for 5 years, and I wondered beforehand, they don't intend to fix it. You know, if so, why didn't they fix immigration when the Democrats had all three branches of the House? Now it's on us. Why don't we fix it? And of course, you see the results that are happening. So many times they use that political divide for political benefit so that they go into power at the expense of the American people. We cannot afford to do that with health care. We have to make sure, and our goal, and it's not just a Republican goal, it's the goal of government and Congress, is that we want to go ahead and we want to make sure there's access to quality health care that's affordable, where you make the decisions with your doctor, not a government panel.
I think we need to think bigger and look at the whole model of health care, how it is delivered, how it is paid for.
Absolutely.
And not in a single-payer system, but actually use what's made America great, the spirit of competition. It lowers costs. It gives people more choices. It builds a better mousetrap, for lack of a better terminology.
Well, you're absolutely right. But also what made America great was the responsibility and the pride of our country. You know, go back to John Kennedy. Now, I know he was a Democrat. But
he wouldn't be today if he was alive.
But his famous line that gets lost today: ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? And that's exemplified in our military and our first responders, our teachers, and every profession out there, for the people that are out there to make this a better country. And somehow we've lost that in the last 15, 20 years.
And one of the things we might want to look at is not tying healthcare to employers per se. First of all, it's a paperwork burden and a nightmare for many of them.
Sure.
I understand the strength in buying healthcare, you know, in numbers, how that makes sense, but maybe a different way that we can go after that, and maybe a pricing structure where you go into a healthcare place and they say, hey, for this operation or procedure, this is what we charge, and this is what we charge for a visit. Everything being upfront and transparent.
Well, you know, that's something that's been taken out of the human medicine model. In the veterinary medicine model, I know well, you know, you come in, we don't ask for your blue card, your insurance card. We look at your animal, we make we give you an estimate and a treatment options that you can afford based on your income and what's best for the animal. We've gotten away from that in human medicine to where government's dictating policies, insurance companies are telling you what they will and won't cover, and then you have the big hospitals and pharma in there. You know, epinephrine, you know, the EpiPen costs roughly $600. I can give you the same dose, and it's the same drug, and I could sell it to you for $20.
Do you have some in your trunk?
No, I don't carry that stuff anymore.
No, but I mean, that is very interesting. And here, that's just one thing.
One thing.
And we can't even address that governmentally, that one thing, and say, hey, this is out of whack. What can we do? You can't even get like-minded Republicans to agree on a single thing.
Well, you know, and that's what pains me probably more than anything. Every Republican up there ran to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. We all ran on that. We got elected on that. And
in 2015, you passed it.
2015, we passed it in the House and the Senate, and President Obama, who we knew would veto it, did. We could bring that same bill up. In fact, we put in a discharge petition, which is a legislative vehicle, to bring a bill up in short order with that same bill. And when we get back in September, our goal is to bring that up to Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan, he'll either choose to bring it up or not. If he doesn't, he'll have to answer to his constituents. If he does, the Republicans that vote against it will have to answer to their constituents that sent him there to repeal and replace Obamacare.
You've already got, Murkowski out of Alaska, you've got Collins out of Maine, two senators that, that won't vote for what they already approved and voted for in 2015, and as you say, ran on this repeal and replace. I want to further this conversation. We're talking to Congressman Ted Yoho on the Bob Rose Show, and I want to ask about taxes, and you know, again, I want to see a think big kind of attitude instead of going through all this minutia of adding more to our tax code. What about a fair tax? I'm going to ask you to answer that question and more coming up next on the Bob Rose Show, live and local, News Talk 97.3 The Sky. A22 on the Bob Rose Show, live and local. Congressman Ted Yoho in the house and giving us the real deal on what's going on in Washington, D.C. and how you're able to navigate those waters up there. No, we do. We feel for you, Congressman. We know it's not easy, but you do have some good news to share with us. A couple of VA clinics coming to Gainesville. You get the funding for? You secured that?
Yeah, in the NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, it funded for two clinics, one in Ocala, one in Gainesville. We're really excited about that because we want to make sure our veterans that have served this nation get the service that they've earned and that they deserve, and we want the red carpet out for them, and we're also working to get one procured in Clay County. So we're excited about that. In addition, there was a 2.4% pay increase for our active military, and this is monumental. This is something that's really good. It's signed into law finally. And we don't have to worry about it next year.
Well, we like that, too, because, you know, it's easy to give lip service to the military and all the sacrifices that they make. But finally, you got together and were able to secure that. And I think that's absolutely huge. Let's get back to taxes. Why can't we do a fair tax? Why is it never, it seems like it's never talked about except in talk radio, and we have our fair tax people that, you know, go around and try to educate people on it. But why is this never really caught on? I read both of the books. It makes great sense. There's no tax on businesses, on corporations.
I know, you get the talking heads talk against it out of ignorance. They haven't read the books. They haven't studied it. If you look at it, the fair tax has been studied for over 20 years. Millions of dollars have been done into the research. What you have are special interest groups, lobbyists. Everybody wants, it's okay to cut everybody else's tax benefit, but when they go into your program, they raise Cain and they're up there fighting for this, and we're going through it right now, whether it's the real estate, the farm side, the fiduciary, the financial planning. Everybody has a special little carve-out they want for them, but it's okay to get rid of yours. And that's where the fair tax would be great, because it gets rid of all that. Everybody's on the same level, and it really is the best way, and I'm convinced of that. Saying that, what we're looking at doing is getting the corporate tax rate down from 39 to 20%.
Now, it used to be 15. What happened to that?
Well, President Trump wants 15, but what we're seeing is that's not going to happen. And the industries, you know, talking to many of them, they said 20 to 25 would be significant. It would make us that much more competitive in the world. And, you know, politics gets played on this stuff too much. Instead of a group coming together, say, this is what's best for America, and then selling that to the members of Congress that got elected by we the people, and put forth a plan that's best for this country, not for a political party, not for a special interest group. And sometimes they need to put the headphones on and block out the white noise from all these other special interest groups and set a policy for America.
Yeah, because I fear the same thing will continue to happen, and that is you're going to get your caveats, your carve-outs. You're still going to have that. You're going to cut the taxes a little bit, but then the people who can really take advantage of it, they're going to pay far less, and the people who can't take advantage of those carve-outs, you know, they're going to pay the maximum amount. Again, it's still, the system, for lack of a better term, the system is rigged.
Well, if we don't make major reforms, you're absolutely right, because it's the people that can afford to hire. I just talked to a business guy the other day. He spent $40,000 preparing his tax last year, not paying his taxes. That's what he paid to prepare him, because he's looking for every carve out you can. This would get off the table and it would go down. And, you know, we've got kind of a hybrid right now. One of the things that goes away is the death tax. Your return for 90% of Americans would be a large postcard. And the tax brackets would go from 7 to 3. It would keep the home deduction for your interest. That would stay, and charitable deductions. Those would stay at 100%. And so we're moving in the right direction. But to simplify, it would be better to go to the fair tax. And this goes back to health care. The best way to fix health care is 100% repeal of the Affordable Care Act and put it at a future date like January of 2019. If Congress knew there was a deadline, we'd get rid of it, and we'd come together as Republicans and Democrats to fix it.
I thought that was pursued, that it was something that had a two-year delay to take effect. I thought that was pursued, and I guess they realize when they count the votes, and sometimes they actually count them, and sometimes they just talk to everybody, and they realize, hey, we don't have enough to pass it, so we're not even going to pursue it.
That, or you kind of makes you wonder, why are they not pursuing that if you've got the House, the Senate, in the executive branch? Why are you not doing that? Do they want to get rid of it at the upper levels of politics, you know, the leaderships? And
well, and again, what happens is you're going to get a lot of people that turned out to vote for Donald Trump who had basically before that kind of given up on politics,
right?
Because it's so entrenched. They would call in and say, you know, really, what are the big differences between Republicans and Democrats? And sometimes, quite honestly, it's hard to defend the Republicans. It's easy to defend on ideas and policies.
Sure.
The conservatism is easy to defend. But how many Republicans who've been there for years, how they represent conservatism, it's kind of embarrassing.
It is. When you look at the voting record and you go back and look at that, I mean, that speaks loudly. And, you know, I'm proud of what we've done. We stayed true to what we said we were going to do. And, you know, I look back when we voted, when the health care bill got pulled, so it didn't come up and fail. We fought strong to get some reforms in there that were better. So we made a terrible bill better, but it's still a bad bill. And, you know, we've got to fix this, and that inadequacy of Congress, you know, has to change. There's so many people up there that are, there's an aversion to making a decision because if I vote a certain way, it's going to be used against me. And what I see is there's self-preservation up there. And I'm so glad I ran on term limits because, you know, I've got a finite start date and a finite end date. And, you know, Katie Holder.
Yeah, it's just it's frustrating for, and like I said, those people, a lot of them that supported Trump that hadn't been involved in politics for a long time, I'm afraid that a lot of those are going to go away, and you're going to get Democrats are going to take power. And, you know, what are they going to work on next that's going to be like an Obamacare that's going to be promised as something great, and it's not going to be delivered that way?
Yeah. Going back to taxes, John Delaney, who's a Democrat, came in with me out of Maryland. He and I have a bill, and it's a great bill. It's called Infrastructure 2.0, and it repatriates the overseas profits, which are $2.5 trillion. We have more overseas profit for the first time in our history off our shores than on our shores. This would invite it back at 8.75%. It would fully fund the $1 trillion that President Trump wants to do on infrastructure. This is new monies coming in, not old monies. So it frees up the old monies that we can use to start doing other things that we need to do.
What would you say, though, to corporations that said, hey, we've been playing by the rules and not doing the offshore thing? They're getting away with 8.7% tax. The corporations are saying, hey, we got nailed for 30%.
Well, you know, they did. And it's a choice people are going to have to make. But if we don't address this, more money is going to go offshore. So let's invite that to create American jobs. We've got legislation in place. They got to use American steel, American equipment. And if we don't do this, more money is going to continue to go offshore until we address tax reform. And if we can't get comprehensive tax reform, this is a good fix to do our infrastructure because we are falling behind on our infrastructure. We haven't put a major investment in that.
So when do you hit the ground running? When are you back in session?
We go back on September 6th, and we're in the district. We're working in the district every day. Our team is doing an awesome job. They've returned over $5.3 million of taxpayers' money from government back to them, whether it's through the VA, Social Security, IRS. And I'm proud of the fact that our office has returned over $750,000 out of our operating expense. We get paid X amount a year to run our offices. We've got five offices. And I'm proud to say that we've returned over $750,000 of the taxpayers' money back to the government.
So you've run it less than what the budget allows for, far less.
We ran it like our veterinary practice, do more with less, you know, and focus on customer service. And, you know, whenever you run a business or a big organization, you can't please everybody, but you do your best to do the best customer service. And I don't have constituents or customers, and we have that attitude in our offices.
Well, Congressman Ted Yoho, keep up the good work. And gosh, I just wish we had more like you in D.C. to help.
Well, come join us.
You want me to come join? Careful what you wish for. There's plenty of work to do right here, as you know. Plenty.
There is, and you do a great job doing what you do.
Thank you, Congressman. 8:32 on the Bob Rose Show. We've got plenty more we're going to talk about, including the guy from Google that got fired. Why, if he's just telling the truth, would he get fired? I'll tell you why, coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.